You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.
The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
The guy from Ballinrobe came down and sat beside me. He said, I'd take the draw, and I said, I'd go home. I said, no. I said, this is the time. I said, if we're going to do it, now is the time, and you can sense it.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. Fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
You're very welcome back to Off the Ball. It is time for us to chat football with John Giles. John, how are you getting on?
I'm good, Will. Yourself?
I'm good. You were watching Shamrock Rovers like ourselves over the last couple of hours. We were just chatting on the news round that it would have been a very different complexion if the game had blown up a couple of minutes earlier, John, and they got away with a one-goal defeat. But that fourth goal could prove crucial in the tie.
It was. Definitely. At that particular stage, Will, you're getting away with it a little bit with the one goal, but to lose the one near the end like that could be really, really important when they come to Dublin.
When it comes to midfield, John, it's so important to win midfield in games. We just noticed Shamrock Rovers were overrun in midfield a few times, and that fourth goal summed it up too, that when they got caught on the break, there seemed to be very few numbers back in midfield. All night there seemed to be a bit of a struggle. Talon were on top middle of the park.
Yeah, well, but they had more chances than Rovers did as well. You have to say they deserved to win the game. But I think it was a poor show for Rovers to lose four goals on a match like that.
Yeah, real disappointment. It makes it very difficult for Talon
next
week.
Yeah, it does, definitely.
The high point maybe of the game, other than Scales getting up and getting the goal, it's no great surprise there's so much interest in him from the UK, given how well he can defend and how well he can get forward. But Graham Burke's finish for the first Shamrock Rovers goal, that was a hell of a hit, John.
Yeah, it was a good hit. He knew exactly what he was doing, didn't he? Pulled it onto his left foot and got a good strike at it. So the goals generally in the match were good. Well, I mean, that's not very good for Shamrock Rovers. But overall, I mean, the standard of play was good.
Manus may be a bit too busy from Shamrock Rovers' perspective. A lot to do for them next week,
yes,
to try and
definitely.
Come back from two goals down. Another couple of your former teams kicked off the Saturday action in the Premier League last weekend, John. Manchester United against Leeds. And sometimes we question the way Marcelo Bielsa sets up his Leeds teams. A lot of space was left for Manchester United the weekend, which Bruno Fernandes and Mason Greenwood and Paul Pogba were more than happy to go in behind Leeds many times during the game.
Leeds weren't at it at all, really. Will, Manchester United played extremely well and beat them well. You'll find with Leeds, they're not going to play defensively, and sometimes that works for them very, very well if they're getting the attacking players going, and sometimes it can be bad. And it was a bad one last weekend for them, there's no doubt. United took the chance as well on the day. Well deserved to win it. Well deserved.
Yeah, they enjoyed that space that was left behind, and in this case, Paul Pogba, and people will wonder what's going to happen with his contract and whether he'll extend to, say, beyond next summer. But he laid on four goals for his teammates last weekend. Could have had a goal himself with the good chance he had when he got in behind two. This was a really good Paul Pogba performance to start the new season.
Well, it's what Pogba can do. He can do certain very, very talented lad. What he did, and he did some very, very talented things in the match last weekend. But I think what you need from him is standard every week. Not creating those goals all the time, but playing for the team, doing his stuff when they don't have the ball. That's when the real player is there. I mean, he was good last week, and he's got tremendous talent, there's no doubt about it. But, I always think, he puts himself first before the team. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. But last weekend, I think it was made for him, and Leeds didn't play well. Fernandes, all the United players took the goals really well, really well. They were well on top, and Pogba certainly did his stuff on the day.
Well, Manchester United have boosted their squad substantially with Rafa Varane coming in. He was presented before the game. You know, the fans got to see a bit of Jadon Sancho coming off the bench. Two big signings there for big money. They'll eventually get Rashford back from injury, and maybe the break will do him no harm given the amount of football he's played over the last couple of years. Midfield was ticking along nicely this weekend. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was pretty bullish about their chances after the game, John. He was talking about United being back.
Yeah, well, he said it was the real, this is the real United. I thought the comments after the match from Rio Ferdinand and particularly Solskjaer was exaggerated, to say the least. This is the first match of the season. You know, I think you should be talking like that when it comes like two or three matches to the end of the season. Long, long, long way to go. And I wouldn't, one thing in football, you should never get carried away, as they say. Never get too high, never get too low. When you're beaten, never get too low. But certainly don't get too high when you're beaten. And that seemed to be the case for me. I thought they were getting carried away with it a little bit. It was a good win. It was a good start to the season. But it's the first match.
Do we have to change our expectations about Manchester United a little bit, John, given the work they've done in the transfer market? Because if Varane comes in and settles and plays at his Real Madrid level and adds pace into the centre of that defence, it'll help out Maguire. Jadon Sancho fills an area where they've had problems over on the right side of the attack. Maybe they won't have to deploy two holding midfielders when Varane comes in to give that bit of extra strength defensively. Given the quality of their squad too, should we expect Manchester United to now contend for the Premier League this season?
Oh, definitely.
Their fans will point out, John, they finished second in the league last year. They got to a Europa League final. Plenty of good signs. But now do they need to be right up there with Chelsea and Manchester City?
They were okay signs last year. It's what you'd expect of United. I mean, they spent a lot of money now. I think the pressure's on Solskjaer. Now this is up to the manager now to do it. It really is. I think they've got a good squad of players. Now, Solskjaer has to do his stuff and be the manager, make sure that they're committed to it, and they're week in and week out, match in and match out. I think the pressure's on Solskjaer now. That now I think he has the squad of players. He's bought a lot of players, a lot of good players, as we know. He's got to manage them now and to get to where they really want to be, which is winning trophies.
What do we expect second season of Bielsa's Leeds in the Premier League then, John? Are they going to still finish fairly solid? Like a little bit naive defensively the way they played last week, but are we still expecting them to be somewhere around the mid-table, something similar to last season?
Well, it's hard to know because you get the second season syndrome, as they call it, Will. You know, you saw Sheffield United there a couple of years ago. We're competing for a European place. Their first match, their first season back in the first division, in the Premiership, and then go down the second year. I think it's a psychological thing with a lot of players, and I experienced a little bit when we were at Leeds. We got promotion, and I think that you're a little bit scared, and it makes you feel, well, we don't have it easy in this match. Every match is a difficult match, and we finished runners up in the league. The second season we finished fourth. You know, so I think that does happen to players. I think there's a lot of situations where when you get promoted, we're really, really up against it here and you do it. And that's what Leeds did last year. Now, he hasn't bought any real players in. I think he's made one or two signings at the most. So, like as an ex-Leeds player, I hope they don't get the second season syndrome. But it can happen, Will. There's no doubt about it. And if they finishing seventh last year was remarkable for them. And I think if they get there again this year, it'll be even more remarkable, to be quite honest.
Brentford had the perfect return to the English top flight, first time since 1947. Maybe they had the ideal opposition, though, John. An Arsenal team who showed a lot of the frailties that they've had, even going back beyond Arteta. Like, I thought that second goal that they conceded, the long throw, no Arsenal defender protects Leno and gives him a chance to come out and catch the ball. Their new defender in Ben White doesn't deal with the ball bouncing when it eventually goes across the six-yard box and Brentford bundle it into the net. It was a very Arsenal goal to concede.
Well, it's been like that for a while, as we know, Will, and I think Arteta is under pressure now. I'm not, Aubameyang was brilliant in the season when he was renewing his contract. And it does happen. That does happen as well. You know, the player gets a big contract and doesn't play as well as he did when he was looking for the contract. So I think he's under a lot of pressure. I don't think he's got the players really to be where Arsenal feel they should be. And it was a bad performance. Again, it was only the start of the season, first match of the season. But it was a poor performance from Arsenal, there's no doubt, Will. And Brentford was a really good performance. The only thing that disappointed me was the amount of celebration after the match. I know they haven't been in the Premiership for a long time, but I thought they got carried away with themselves again after the first match of the season. The coach was going around, they were celebrating. First match, what's going to happen? If they're beaten 4-5-0 in one of the matches early on, they won't be doing any celebrating then. Mm. But it was a good performance by Brentford and a really, really poor performance by Arsenal.
A worry I'd have about Arsenal as well, John, is the lack of leaders within that group. Like, we remember there are great teams of nearly 15 years ago now where they had toughness with players like Parler and Vieira and Petit and Sol Campbell and players, Tony Adams, who added that, you know, bit of steel to the team that went along with the likes of Pires and Thierry Henry. I look at that Arsenal team now and you're looking at youngsters who are providing the leadership and the drive within the side. Like, take out Maitland-Niles and Tierney and maybe Saka, who are young players. There's not a whole lot of leadership within that Arsenal team to actually get them through if they go through a bad period. And they've got two difficult games coming up with City and with Chelsea. They lose them. Arteta's in big pressure going into the international window if that happens.
I think he's under pressure now. Mm. I mean, Xhaka's back as captain now. Xhaka surprised me in the Euros. He was absolutely outstanding in one of the matches against France. Absolutely brilliant. But he doesn't do that week out. And he's now back as captain. So, you know, they seem to be going backward, Arsenal, instead of going forward with the team that he has. There's an awful lot expected of Arsenal, one of the big clubs. But they're not doing the business at the moment. And they've got to improve and improve very, very quickly, or else Arteta will be under severe pressure.
Yeah, particularly after missing out on Europe last season. Across North London, John, Spurs will have to be delighted with the way their season has started. They still have this saga around Harry Kane, but on the pitch, Son Heung-min gets a goal and they beat the reigning champions Manchester City last weekend to get off to an ideal start under Nuno Espirito Santo.
Yeah, plenty of spirit about them. This is the problem now with the Harry Kane situation. I mean, Harry has made it known to everybody that he wants to leave the club. Well, it's very hard, and he's their outstanding player. It's very hard to have a good spirit in the team if you've got one of your outstanding or your most outstanding player wanting to leave. You know, I think from the manager's point of view, the sooner Spurs come to terms with Manchester City, the better it is going to be for him. I mean, there's a lot of talk that he's talking about getting Harry Kane back into the team, and that's not going to happen. And when you get a player like Harry Kane, and you build a team spirit in that, it's very hard to build a team spirit if your best player has made it very, very well known, very publicly, that he wants to leave the team.
Well, Daniel Levy, John, as hard a negotiator as he is, he's also practical. And he knows that if the price is met, he will eventually sell. Now, he always extracts the exact price which he requires, and all speculation is somewhere around £130 million would be needed from Manchester City to sign Harry Kane. They might go late in the window for it to happen. We still have 10 or 11 days before the window closes for any potential deal. But I think if Manchester City come in with that type of money, John, Spurs have to be practical and think about the three or four players they could potentially buy and not having an unhappy Harry Kane on their books.
I think he has to go, but Levy is well known as a businessman, a top businessman, to getting the best price. But I think if he overdoes it, I think it could well be that City would say, "Right, thank you very much, we're off." Now it's a gamble between all of them. I mean, that's a game going on, as you say there, Will, with them all. But I think City will go to 130. Now, it depends on Levy, so it's dependent. But the last thing Tottenham need is for Harry Kane to stay. Because Harry Kane is not going to perform for Spurs if he has to stay the way he has done in previous seasons. I've no doubt about that. He's very annoyed. He's saying that Levy hasn't stuck to his word. Like, this is getting nasty now. And you can't expect a player like Harry Kane to say, OK, let's forget about it and I'll go back and be the Harry Kane that I've been for the last few seasons. I don't think that's going to happen.
I appreciate he's the England captain, John, so the English media are going to give him a soft enough ride anyway. But I just wonder if this had been a foreign player who was deciding to, you know, put it out there in the media that there was a gentleman's agreement that he could leave this season, not turning up on time after his holidays to get ready for the new season, missing their first game of the campaign as a result of that, making it really clear in various interviews that he wanted to leave. If this wasn't the England captain, they'd be getting savage for his behaviour this summer.
Well, you know, you have to look at it both sides. I wouldn't be looking at it that way, to be quite honest, Will. I mean, Harry Kane is a player that they're looking for $160 million from. He's a player they got for nothing as a young player in the club. That's not bad business. And considering what he's done for the club over the past 5 or 6 years, where he's been absolutely brilliant. Now, what he's saying is that there was a gentleman's agreement. It depends who you want to believe there in that particular way. I mean, what Harry Kane should have done and his legal people should have done when he was signing the original contract was to do what Jack Grealish did with Aston Villa, which was to put a figure in that if a team came in with that figure, then he had to go if he wanted to. That hasn't happened. And what he's saying is that I had a verbal agreement, and that's very dodgy at the best of times, a verbal agreement. But I think Harry Kane is a very, very honest individual that should have tied the contract up, or his people should have, his legal people should have, and then he wouldn't be in this position. But, you know, he has been a target. It's not all one-sided, Will. From Levy's point of view, again, $160 million that he's looking for is an awful lot of money for any player, especially for a player that you got as a young boy and didn't cost him anything.
If you're Manchester City, John, do you just push through and pay the money at this stage? Because they need a striker, like at the weekend.
They need it badly.
They really lacked a number nine at the weekend.
At the moment, it's too... I mean, Spurs' case, Harry Kane is not going to be the same player for them again, in my opinion. I don't think you can just wipe the slate clean there if he doesn't get the move, because Spurs are looking for too much money. So that's the gamble that's going on there. I feel that they will come to an arrangement. I think it won't go to 160. It might go to 140. I think if it goes to 140, the deal will be done. For both sides.
Manchester City at the weekend lacked a bit of balance. Aside from not having that number nine since Sergio Aguero has left, and trying to fit attacking midfielders into a fluid attacking role. We got to see Jack Grealish for the first time, but he operated in an area, John, that wasn't too dissimilar to where Raheem Sterling was. And Phil Foden likes to go into that area too. Might take a bit of time to settle, but for me, City looked a bit imbalanced in midfield at the weekend.
Funny enough, they didn't have a midfield with the way that they played. You know, they had Grealish up front, Mahrez up front, Sterling up front, Gundogan is supposed to be a midfield player, was up front. They were very similar to the situation that they were beaten in the Champions League against Chelsea. They had no midfield. I mean, Pep has been a very successful manager, and we assume he's a great coach. But this is, whatever he's doing now is overdone. I think it's trying to be too clever and too tactical. I mean, you stick to the basics in football. You've got to have a midfield, no matter who you're playing against. Games are won and lost in the midfield, and they didn't have a midfield. Again, like they played at Chelsea in the Champions League, they played players all, and they were all forward players, and they all did stay up the pitch, as if, like, we're going to have the ball all the time and we're going to score goals. It doesn't happen that way, and I'm surprised at Guardiola doing what he did last weekend. Spurs deserved to win that match because they were a balanced team. City weren't a balanced team. Terrific players in it. But as you say, with Grealish on the left side with Sterling, I mean, there was two of them there and they were getting in each other's way, in my opinion.
So
I don't know whether it was being over-clever, trying to be too clever. Well, certainly trying to be too clever, in my opinion, because it didn't make sense. The team that he picked and the positions they played in, Spurs deserved to win the game.
And all it took was three passes for Spurs to get out for the goal. It was a couple of very simple passes to put Son Heung-min into space. And if City had had proper protectors, that might not have been the case. Football here on Off the Ball is with thanks to Paddy Power for information on responsible gambling. You can visit gamblingcare.ie. Man City favourites going into the season, John, just about ahead of Chelsea with the bookmakers. But Chelsea, again, went about their work really well, I thought, on Saturday. Considering that they had played extra time and penalties against Villarreal in the Super Cup final a couple of days previously, Chelsea, even waiting for Romelu Lukaku to play, went about their business very professionally on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, they're a threat. They're a big threat. I think Tuchel is very, very good. I think he's done a huge job since he's gone there, Will. And I think they'll get better. As you say, if Lukaku does what he has been doing in recent times, and it's something that Chelsea weren't doing last year, which was scoring the goals in the way that they should have been with the amount of play they have. If he's scoring the goals as we expect him to do, I think Chelsea will take a lot of beating. They're really are contenders for the Premiership.
They had to spend 100 million quid to get Lukaku back to the club for a second time, but he's a better player than he was when he was there as a youngster. Really proved himself last season with Inter Milan. Basically, his 24 goals won them the Serie A title. He's proven as well, John, within the Premier League, given the goals he scored for West Brom, Everton, Manchester United in previous spells. And he could be the final piece of that jigsaw. We saw the reliance on Timo Werner and Kai Havertz last year. They didn't necessarily score the goals. But all those attacking players that came in over the last 18 months, if Lukaku clicks, he might improve all those players around him too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the players around him have done their stuff. They just haven't finished them off. All the other players have done their stuff. The lads that are up front haven't done it. They haven't been scoring when they should have been scoring, which kills the game, as we know. So I think that's why they paid so much money for Lukaku, because if he plays the way he can play, as you just said there, then he will get the goals. And they'll be real contenders. They're good at the back, they're good at midfield. And Tuchel has done a really big job for them, there's no doubt about that. And if Lukaku does it, and he's a mature man now. It happens with lads, they go to clubs. Look at De Bruyne, a few players actually. And Chelsea were the victims in that particular way. They had De Bruyne there. Mourinho didn't want him.
Mo Salah
there. Mm-hmm. They didn't want him. So Lukaku, he didn't want him either. So I think Lukaku's that type of individual. When he was younger, he wouldn't have had as much confidence in himself as he should have. Now he's a grown man. He's already done it. I think we'll see a different Lukaku playing for Chelsea than the Lukaku played for them, whatever it is, 5 or 6 years ago.
Question in from Michael in Leash on the text for John in 53106. Is there anything to be gained from Manchester City potentially buying a cheaper striker or waiting along for a younger option next summer like Erling Haaland? Could they wait a season, John, not spend big this summer, keep the 130 million in their pocket, and then put all of that towards Erling Haaland next summer, as opposed to waiting around for Harry Kane or having to maybe overspend for him this summer?
Well, they could do that, but the down point on that is they won't win anything. Mm-hmm. They might say, well, okay, we'll wait a season, but in my opinion, if they don't get a Harry Kane in and get the balance of the team right in the way that they didn't last week, they won't win anything.
Was it any surprise to you, John, that they went in with the 100 million for Grealish, John, as opposed to spending the money on Harry Kane first? Because I would have thought that if you know that there's a clause in the contract that you can sign Grealish at any point for 100 million, you'd be better spending the money, if it's available, on Harry Kane within the negotiations and then decide if you need Grealish. Like, the need to get Harry Kane is probably greater than Grealish anyway, if you've got Phil Foden and Sterling available.
Well, I think that's a good point, actually. These are businessmen as well. They say, well, we're not going to pay 160 million. He's not worth that. And we're losing this particular battle with Levy in it, So I still think they'll get Harry Kane. They might not go to 160, but I think Levy will let him go for less. But I see the point you're making, that they could have, but that's given in to Levy, and they don't like doing that as businessmen, giving him the 160, and then they're not signing Grealish. Grealish doesn't come along, or a player like Grealish doesn't come along every day of the week. I still think they'll get Kane. I think they'll come to some arrangement, because it's not in Spurs' interest, really, to keep Kane. He won't have the same player.
Yeah.
So it's a game of businessmen between them, and what they're doing. But I think he'll end up at Manchester City.
History would indicate they'll sell, and they'll sell late. If we look at Dimitar Berbatov, if we look at Gareth Bale,
yes,
players who've left Spurs in these transfer sagas previously. Barry in Dublin reckons Lukaku is a donkey. He's got terrible first touch. A couple of years in Italy won't change anything. We'll be talking to Nicky Bandini about Lukaku's transformation that he had with his work rate and with the way that he played a very different role with Inter Milan after 9 o'clock. And Nicky's opinion is that Lukaku has transformed and grown quite a bit as a player in Italy, and I think his form under Antonio Conte is the reason that Chelsea are willing to spend 100 million. So we shall see what happens there. Liverpool at the weekend, John, they weren't really troubled against newly promoted Norwich, and for Jurgen Klopp, the hope just has to be that those defenders stay fit for this season.
They got the defenders back. I mean, well, they got Van Dijk back, which is the main one. I think Liverpool, at the moment, are being a bit underrated in the who's going to win it. I think Liverpool are back again and should be back again to where they were a couple of years ago, because they've had a good rest. They've got Van Dijk back. They've got a lot of good players, as we know. And it's a question now if Klopp can just revive them in the way that he had them the season before last. They do have the players that can do it. Now it depends on do they have the hunger that they had a couple of seasons or not? Well, that remains to be seen, because they're all a couple of seasons older and they have won a lot. But they had a bad season, as we know, last year. Well, can they get it back? I think they have the players who are capable of doing it. Now, it depends on Klopp to get the best out of them again this season.
My only concern would be, John, Gini Wijnaldum going to PSG. And Liverpool wanted to keep him, but he's been so crucial as legs and as muscle within that midfield. They need Thiago or maybe Naby Keita to step up. Wijnaldum's a big loss.
He is, but they didn't try to keep him, though.
Mm.
You know, they have this system now, apparently, at Liverpool, that if players get to a certain age, then they've got to go rather than keeping them. I mean, there was talk there about Henderson, that they were reluctant to give him a new contract. I think Klopp is kicking up about that. Actually, he should have to say on those particular matters. But clubs have different policies, and I've heard it before. Once a player gets to 30, they're not going to give him a long contract. They're not going to extend the contract, and they let him go for nothing. I think it's a big mistake. You don't pick up a Wijnaldum every day of the week, and they've let him go for nothing. Why not give him another two-year, three-year contract, and keep him at the club? But that's their policy. I think Klopp is very, very annoyed about it. He doesn't agree with it. So they could pay a price in any situation if that's their policy for the future. Will,
we'll see if he gets on a PSG. John, great to talk to you as always.
Thanks, Will.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. New normal, same old football. Paddy Power.
Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.